I would like you please to turn with me to Hebrews 11. Today we are nearing the last verses. We are not quite there, but nearing the last verses of the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And I want to speak a little bit about those final verses that deal with the man by the name of Moses. You know, Moses, the stories about Moses have been told so many times to us as little boys and girls in Israel, and we remember the stories about Moshe so much that Moshe, you know, everything you talk about in Israel, you talk about Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, Torah Moshe, the law of Moses, the five books of Moses. Moshe is one of the most favored names in Israel. There is a reason for that, because Moshe became the man that have given the people of Israel the law, the Decalogue, the Torah that had been given to Israel from Sinai. Today, if you take your Bibles with you, to read those verses in chapter 11, that it speaks about the faith that Moses had and how many lessons we can learn from the story of the life of Moses. And so let me read verse 23 of Hebrews 11 all the way to 29. Hebrews 11 verse 23-29. And listen to the verses. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Messiah greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And then we continue, verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroy the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptian tried or are saying to do, and they were drowned. And I stop here with these verses. Verses 23-29 in the book of Hebrews deal with the man by the name of Moshe. As I said earlier, this man is amazing how important he is in the life of our people, the nation of Israel. Everywhere you go in the land, you find the name Moshe. You remember, I'm sure, about Moshe Dayan. And you remember about other men of in Israel that is their name were Moshe. And Moshe, as we have just read earlier in the book of Exodus, means limshot, to bring out, to draw out of the water. And the story has been told, which we have just read it, in Exodus chapter 1 and chapter 2. But I want to suggest today, in Hebrews chapter 11, that the theme of this chapter is faith. And the writer wrote to Jewish believers who were in exercise, in challenges, and he tell them, move on, continue in your faith in the Messiah, Yeshua, move on in spite of trials and problems in your lives. Those Hebrew believers were suffering persecution. Those Hebrew believers lost a lot of the privileges they have had. And he's telling them, look at the history of your people from the past we read on Abel all the way to Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. And now he gives them the story about a man by the name of Moses. And when we talk about Moses, there are 3 things that are coming up to the surface in Hebrews 11. 3 things that I would like to share with you today. We notice, number 1, that Moses had a godly parents. How important it is to have a godly parents. You know, brothers and sisters, all of us that have children, God have entrusted us responsibility to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Messiah, of the Lord. Now, mind you, we might sometimes say, I tried so hard, I sought to do the will of God, and I didn't succeed. God understands all this. But what we expected from God is to act upon the responsibility that He had given unto us. You notice the first thing that we find in Hebrews 11 about Moshe, that he had a godly parents. Notice what it says in verse 23. It says here, by faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months of his parents. Why? Because they, the parents, saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandments. What a privilege Moshe had when he had mommy and daddy, Ima and Abba, who were godly men and women. Who were so godly that they say that when they saw, you notice what it says here, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months by his parents. You know, his parents were such a godly parents that even in spite of what the Egyptian king Pharaoh declared, that every Jewish, every Hebrew boy that will be born will be cast into the river, into the Nile. And every baby girl that will be born, she will remain alive. When the parents, when the mother gave birth to the baby, Moshe, the parent says, listen, we are going to devote this baby to the Lord. And you notice what we read here? What's happening here? The first thing we find about them, that they decided to commit this child to the Lord, and they hid him for 3 months. Now, if you read Exodus chapter 1 and 2, you find out what happened. When the people of Israel grew and multiplied, the Egyptian was so much concerned about what's going to happen. The Hebrews are getting bigger and larger, and we might end up to be overtaken by the Hebrews. So the king decided, and he says, you know what? We are not going to allow them to live, even to be born. So even when they were born, the maids were told to not allow them to live. But even the maids had honored God, and they didn't destroy these babies that were born. So what happened is that he said, okay, the king said, everyone that will be born, if it is a boy, we'll throw him into the river. If it is a girl, we'll keep her alive. And can you imagine what it meant for the parents of Moshe to hide him for 3 months away from the public? What a godly parent. And you notice it says this expression, said that he was hid 3 months by his parents because, they give us the reason, because they saw that he was a proper child. Now, every mother that gives birth to a child say, my child is the most beautiful child. I know when my wife gave birth to Shalom, to Yoav, to Nathanael, not only she, I thought they were beautiful children. But you know what? I don't think the thought here is that they saw that the children were beautiful, or the child was beautiful, but hear this expression, a proper child, they saw that God has something for this little one. God has a purpose in the life of this little baby, and we are not going to cast him into the river, we are going to keep him and to preserve him as long as we can. I can just imagine that these parents of Moses were probably on their knees every day praying for this little child. You know, I remember, and I think I mentioned this years ago, when Irene was first pregnant with Shalom, with our oldest son, and I went to a conference and I met a sister that she was a godly sister, older sister, and she told me, Brother Gideon, I found out that your wife is expecting to have a baby. She says, you know what, I'll tell you one thing. You might not know what's going to happen in the future, but I will tell you one thing. When you have this child, don't wait to pray for him, or with her, until they grown up and be big kids. Every morning when you start the day, take this little baby on your knees Go on your knees and pray with this little one that the Lord will lead that little one. Even if things will not happen with the baby, it will affect your own life. You are going to be so devoted to the Lord, so helped by the Lord, because through the time that you spend in praying for your children, God not only speaks to the children, He also speaks to the parents. And we took this advice. We are very thankful. If not for our children, it's for the parents themselves. And here we find a godly parent. What a privilege to have a mother and a father who love the Lord Jesus the Messiah. To be under the umbrella of a godly home, godly protection. You read in 1 Corinthians 7 that the children are set apart by virtue of being part of a home where God has a place. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. They are sanctified by the parents. Of course they will have to come to a decision to make for themselves whether they accept the Messiah or not, and when they grow up, but they are still under the umbrella of God's protection when they are in a home. The Word of God is being presented and the Lord Jesus is being honored. And so we find out in this verse that they had been a godly parents. That number one, they hid their child for 3 months because they saw that he was a proper child. Actually, it should be proper unto the Lord. The Lord has a purpose with every one of our own children. He has a purpose. We don't see everything right away, but the Lord has a purpose. I want you for a moment to turn back to Exodus, please. Chapter 1. We read this, and I just want to read again the one verse or two here. You notice in Exodus chapter 1, it says this. Pharaoh charged all his people, verse 22, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter that ye shall save alive. And then a little bit further, in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and there went a woman of the house of Levi, and took a man of the house of Levi, and it took one of the daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and look what it says, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him for 3 months. She looked at her son, and she saw that there is something for him from God. She hid him for 3 months. And then it says in verse 3, when she could no longer hide him, she prepared for him an ark of bulrushes, and she covered it with slime, with pitch, and she put the child there, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. What did she do? Not only that she had faith in God to hide him for 3 months, but when she saw it's time coming and she cannot hide him anymore, you know what she did? She entrusted him to the Lord. She prepared an ark. She placed him in the ark. She pitched it with pitch within and without, and she laid it by the river, and I can just imagine she was talking to the Father, to the God of Israel, and saying, God, you have given me this child. I'm committing him to your hand. And guess what happened? It says here that the daughter of Pharaoh found him and took him to become one of her household, like her own son. How wonderful to see the preservation of the Lord, how the Lord is preserving the children of the people of God. And you can just imagine what a parent that Moses have had. What a wonderful parent he had, a godly parents that cared for him and taught him. And you know, there is a verse in Ephesians chapter 6 that exhorting us as fathers. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what we are called to do. It doesn't mean that we are going to succeed in everything, but we have a responsibility that the Lord had given unto us. The parents of Moses were godly parents. They saw in their child something for God, and they have done what they could in order to bring them in a nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you know how the story happened. After Moses was left by the river, the daughter of Pharaoh found him, and guess what happened? Miriam, the sister, was standing by and watching what's going to happen to him. And as this little ark moving about, they took him out of the river, and she ran to the daughter of Pharaoh and said, "Hey, do you want me to provide a nurse for you? I know somebody that is willing to nurse a child." And she took the child, she gave it to Miriam, of course called the mother of Moses. The mother of Moses came, and she took the child and had the privilege of bringing him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord in her very own home, under the command of the daughter of Pharaoh. What an amazing story we have here. And so, Hebrews 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Let's take faith to trust the Lord. Whatever going to happen to them, they are wanting to bring up this boy for the God of the Hebrews. And that's what they have done. Well, the second thing, now we are moving on in this chapter, and now in verses 24 and 25, we learn the second thing about Moses. Not only that he had a godly parents, but in verse 24, 25, and 26, we find out that Moses had decisions that he made in his life when he came to be of age. You know, you and I have to make decisions in our life also. Decisions in our lives that will depend upon how we're going to grow spiritually. How we're going to move about in our lives as believers. Here, look at this. 3 decisions in Moses' life. First of all, in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, can you imagine? Moses, when he was taken from his mother's home, was brought into Pharaoh's daughter's home, and he grew up in this house. And the Bible teaches us, dear brothers and sisters, that he was so much instructed by the Egyptians' world teaching, that he learned of all the glory of Egypt. He learned of all the learning of Egypt. But you know what? When the time came, it says here, that he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son. He must have been one of the wealthiest men in the world. He must have been one of the smartest, brilliant men in the world. He must have had a man that had so much authority and power, maybe he's going to be the next Pharaoh in the future. But he had to make a choice. I want you to see that also, please, if you turn to the book of Acts chapter 7 for a moment. In Acts chapter 7, we learn about the refusal of Moses to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Acts chapter 7. I'm reading from verse 20. Stephen is telling the story of his forefathers. And in verse 20 he says, in which time Moses was born. And he was exceedingly fair, and he was nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up, nourished him as her own son. And look what it says about Moses, verse 22. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and in deeds, and when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren. See, we read, Stephen gives us an additional information we don't have in Exodus, and we don't have in Hebrews. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, gives us, enlightened by the Spirit of God, some information. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. You know, at that time, the Egyptians was the empire that was the most powerful empire in that world. And to have the wisdom of the Egyptians, it's similar to a person that is educated today in the world in which you and I live in today. So educated, He's so educated by the system of the learning of this world in which we live in. But you notice, beloved brothers and sisters, most of the people, I'm not saying all, most of the people who are educated in this world system today reject the truth of the Word of God. I'm not saying all, because it's not true, because there are many individuals that are very much instructed, have the wisdom of this world, but were humble enough to confess that the Lord Jesus is Lord, that He is the Messiah. And so here is Moses. He learned with all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in words and in action. He had authority in Egypt. He had power in Egypt. When he spoke a word, everybody had to accept it. He had all this authority of the Egyptian world, and yet we read about him in Hebrews 11 and verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he came to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at that decision that he made in his life. To decide not to be called, you know why? Because you and I, the same way, will have to make decisions in our lives. We either identify with the world that rejected the Lord Jesus the Messiah, or we're going to identify with the person of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. The world around us, Egypt is a picture of the world, and it's the system that deny the truth of God. The Epistle of John tells us, love not the world, nor the things which are in the world. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And you know, the truth of the matter is that we battle the same thing that Moses had to battle. And we have to have faith to continue to follow after Yeshua the Messiah in spite of the fact that the world around us tells us, don't tell me about God. Don't tell me about Jesus. How can it be possible that a person was born to the virgin birth? How would it be possible that God created the heavens and the earth? We all, the evolution have existed and something happened. It could not be God, they say. And just like Moses, you and I have to make a decision. And you know, brothers and sisters, we know that when our children grow up and they go to the university, you know what is the job of the professors and the teacher in the university is to undo all what you taught your children at home. Their job, it seems to be, is to unteach them all what you have labored for years to teach your children when they were young at home. That's what the world does. You teach them there is a God, the world says there is no God. You teach them there is a Messiah who loves you, they teach them, don't give me this nonsense, nobody loves you. You teach them about the necessity for forgiveness of sins, they say we don't sin, everything is the same, everything is okay. You teach them of the necessity of the blood of Yeshua the Messiah, they teach you, you can go to heaven, you go your way, he goes his way, and they'll go. Everyone has their own way to get to heaven. You see, Moses, by faith, chose, I'm not going to take the scholarship that the world gives me and deny my Savior. I'm, as it says here, he desired the things of God and all the glory of Egypt had to be set aside. Even if he had all this already taught for 40 years. And you know, brothers and sisters, Moses' life is actually divided into three sections. And you can understand it very clearly in the book of Acts chapter 7. One third, 40 years in Egypt. One third, 40 years in the desert alone with God. And one third, 40 years leading our own people in a circles, in a wilderness, until the shore of the promised land. And every area of his life, we can see what a man Moses had been, Moshe had been. And if you notice that in the book of Acts, three times the word 40 years are mentioned. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 23, when he was full 40 years old, he came to his heart to visit his brethren. In Acts chapter 7 verse 30, when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness in Mount Sinai the angel of the Lord. And finally, in Acts chapter 7, verse 36, he brought them out after he had showed wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. Three times you find the word 40 years in Acts chapter 7, the divisions of the life of the men of God by the name of Moses. And so the first thing we find him, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It's a decision that he has made. And you and I have to make those decisions. We have made the decisions, of course, when we accepted the Messiah, when we have acknowledged him as our Lord and our Savior. But we have to make those decisions every day of our lives, when we face the world around us and tell us, you don't need Jesus, you don't need God, you don't need the Bible, you don't need to pray, you don't need to come to the meetings. Why do we need to come to a prayer meeting or to a Bible study or to a worship meeting? You don't need to. You don't need God in your life. That's what the world is telling us. And the decision that he made, what a lesson. If we will learn a little bit from Moses, he decided, he refused to say, no, I refuse this thing. I'm not going to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. All the glory that it provides for me, I refuse to accept this title and this position. Because if I accept it and I deny God, I am ultimately going against God and I lose the blessing that God intends for me. Sometimes we sing, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. Now, notice, not only this that we learn about the decisions of Moses, look at the second decision we find now in verse 25. Not only that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now listen to the second statement that is so interesting. Verse 25. Choosing, here's the second thing. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Look what we read about him. He refused, not only refused, but he chose. Not only did he say no to something, but he said yes to something else. And what did he say yes to? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Here's a real type of the Messiah. Here's a person that is choosing to suffer with God's people. And remember, who were God's people? The Hebrews. What were they were doing in Egypt? They were slaves. They were building the cities, Pithom and Ramses, and they were in bondage to the Egyptians. What was Moses? He was declared to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He's in the palace. He has everything he wanted. Who cares about these Hebrews there who suffer there? But he had a different attitude. That's why God could use him. Not only did he refuse the glory of Egypt, but he chose to identify with God's people who were suffering, who were rejected. Look, it says here, choosing rather to suffer affliction with God's people. We're not going to emphasize as much of the affliction as much as we're going to emphasize the people of God. God's people. You know, that it's interesting that when persecution come, when trouble come, our nature seems to identify not with the people of God who are going through this problem, it weighs the easy way. But Moses did not choose the easy way. He chose to suffer with the people of God. The Hebrews who were suffering and being the taskmasters of the Egyptians were beating them and telling them, you go and you build the cities. And they didn't give them any brush to provide for the bricks that they were making. And they were suffering. The nation were there in suffering and affliction. And here is a man that have been choosing to suffer affliction rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Now, you notice that the Bible say that there is pleasure in sin. Why do we sin? Because there's pleasure in it. There is pleasure in it. That's why the inclination of the flesh is to sin, because there is pleasure. But it is only for a season. And that's why we learn about Moses choosing to identify with the people of God. That gives us a real challenge for us, the two expression, refusing and choosing. You know, when we are at work, and I know some of us are working in various offices and various places, maybe factories or something, and I can just imagine. If you want to be one of the guys or one of the girls, you got to identify with everybody. You got to fit in, you see? You got to be like everybody else. And if you don't fit in, watch it. You're going to be mocked. You're not going to be liked. You're going to be rejected. And we don't like that. We like to be accepted, embraced, and loved. And yet, the lesson that we learn, by faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. But that's not all. We continue to learn about the decision that Moses had made in his life. And the third decision is something that is very interesting, because it says here now in verse 26. The third word, not only refusing, not only choosing, but also esteeming. What he esteemed. In verse 26, esteeming the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than the pleasures of Egypt. For he had respect unto the one that was going to give him a reward. Now here's this thing, beloved. Listen, he esteemed the reproaches of the Messiah. Now, you and I say, well, how did Moses know about the Messiah? Did he know about the Messiah? Well, the Bible teaches us that he esteemed the reproaches of Christ, Christos, Mashiach, Messiah. He esteemed that the sufferings of the Messiah is far greater than the treasures that are found in Egypt. Well, what does that mean? You know what it means? That Moses wanted to identify with the Lord Yeshua the Messiah. He knew prophetically that the Messiah will come. He prophesied about the Messiah. He spoke about the Messiah. Later on, he spoke to Israel. He said, the prophet like unto me, God will raise from among you. Hear him. He also understood that when the Messiah will come, he will suffer. Yesterday in our Bible study, somebody asked us the question, when the Jewish people anticipate the coming of the Messiah, what do they see? What do they anticipate? Well, if I, as a Jewish person, can tell you what my people speak today about the Messiah, when he's going to come, when the Messiah will come, he's going to make peace in the land, Israel is going to be restored, the kingdom will be established, our enemy is going to be defeated, and everything is going to be shalom and blessing here in this world. Well, that's true. But that's not true about the first coming of the Messiah. It's true about the second coming of the Messiah. Moses understood the reproaches of the Messiah. That before there will be a kingdom, before there will be glory day suffering, before there will be a utopia, shalom, in this world, first of all, you have to deal with the problem that caused the wars in this world. And that's sin. We all have sinned. The nation has sinned. The world has sinned. And when the Messiah would come, he will have to be rejected of men, despised and rejected of men, Isaiah 53, a man of sorrow which have been acquainted with grief. And so before the Messiah will come and have glory and power and authority, he will first of all have to suffer. And Moses wanted to identify with the sufferings of the Messiah. And brothers and sisters, there is nobody that suffered like our blessed Lord Jesus the Messiah here in this world. If you just meditate a little bit of the sufferings of the Messiah, and think about the man that he had been, a man of sorrows, Isaiah called him, acquainted with grief. We read in Isaiah 49, that he himself prophetically said, I have labored in vain. My works, all what I've done, seems to be not bringing fruit. He turned to God and he says, though Israel will not gather, yes, he said, I will turn to God. God will do his work in due time. And he trusted in God, the Messiah. And so he had to suffer before he's going to receive glory and authority. He had to suffer. And that's why Moses chose esteeming the sufferings of the Messiah greater than the riches of Egypt. I know it's not normal. It's divine. It's not human. It's divine. God worked in his soul. And you and I, the same thing. If there will be a possibility for us to choose, we obviously not going to choose to suffer. That's the natural man. But Moses, by the grace of God, he esteemed that the suffering of Christ, of the Messiah, was greater than the riches of Egypt. Why? Because the riches of Egypt, at the end, are going to fade away. It's temporary. Even if we like it by nature, it's still eventually going to end. But the sufferings of Christ, of the Messiah, brought redemption to sinners, brought forgiveness to us, brought peace in our hearts, gave us hope that is beyond this world, gave us right relationship with the Lord. That's what the Messiah have done. And that's why he appeals to us, appeals to people today, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, he says, I am meek and lowly in heart. He wants us to learn from him. And Moses, he esteemed the reproach of the Messiah. You know, the Hebrew word for reproach is chelpa, is shame. You know, we sometimes sing a song, a shameful death he died. Can you imagine? When he died, they lifted him up. They crucified him between two malefactors. And then they put him down and put him in a tomb. What a shameful death he died. When you think about the shame of the Lord, sometimes, and I speak for myself, we are ashamed to identify with him because it's not popular. It's more popular to identify with a rock star, with a movie star, than to identify with Yeshua. But Moses made a choice, and God wants us as well to learn from him, to esteem the reproach, the shame of the Messiah, greater than riches of this world. A verse come to my mind quickly. Could you turn to 1 Peter, please? The first epistle of Peter. There is a verse that is very interesting there. Chapter 1. And look what Peter is telling to the Hebrew believers of first century. Look what he said in verse 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Yeshua the Messiah. When you and I go through trials, especially when there are trials for the name of Yeshua, when we're being despised and rejected because simply we believe in Yeshua the Messiah, the trial of our faith is much more precious than of gold that perish, the riches of Egypt. And when we are going through those trials, it brings us only closer to the Lord, and the Lord will reward us, as he says, it's going to be found to the praise and the honor and the glory when? At the appearing of Yeshua the Messiah. When he's going to come, and he's going to be pleased with our identification with him at the time of his rejection. That was Moses did. Moses esteeming the reproach of the Messiah being far greater than the riches of Egypt. Why? because he had respect to the one that was going to give him a reward in a future day. He understood. He understood that he's going to honor God by identifying with the reproaches of the Messiah. Now, thirdly, we talked about his godly parents. Thank God for godly parents. We talked about his decisions that he had made in his life. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And he esteemed the reproach of the Messiah far greater than the glory of Egypt. A decision that he had made. Now finally and quickly, we see the works of Moses. He's found in verse 27, 28, and 29. Look at the works that Moses have done in his life when he was on earth and how God had blessed him. Look, notice this, verse 27, three things we learn about his works. It says, by faith, Moses, or he, forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. The first thing we learn about Moses when he's come to his works now, we saw his parents, we saw his decision that he had made, but now notice that the works that he had done, the things that he had done. See, you and I, thank God for godly parents, and if we hadn't godly parents, thank God for our Father which is in heaven. He also wants us to make a decision, and you and I will have to make decision just like Moses had made a decision by the grace of God, as he helped us. But then God wants to use us here in this world. And look at the three things that God used Moses to do. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. He lived in a desert, and he turned to be close to God, not fearing the king of Egypt who sought to kill him. And can you imagine leaving home, leaving the nation where you grew up, going into the wilderness, and in spite of the fact that he was warned and wanted by the king, he did not fear the king, and he endured as the one that is seeing the invisible one. In other words, he endured, he have continued and went on for the 40 years now that he was in the desert. He trusted God for the future. And you know, you and I too, we are also living here in this world. We are going in a wilderness here in this world, a world that is against the things of God. And you and I in the same way should trust God, see Him by faith and trust Him to provide, to take care of us, to watch over us, to deal and help us to deal with every issue that we are facing in our life. That's the thing that we learn here about Moses. He lived in the wilderness for 40 years, trusting God to provide him in the wilderness when he was there alone, away from the nation and away from his home. Secondly, in verse 28, after he came back from the wilderness to Egypt, look what it says in verse 28. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch the people of Israel. He kept the Passover. You know, you read here, by faith. You and I might think, well, what was it by faith there? He was told to take the lamb. He was told to kill the lamb, to sprinkle the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. Very simple, the instruction that we have received. But you know what? In a world such as Egypt, to trust what God says in His Word. Notice he believed in the fact that it is through the blood that Israel can have redemption. The whole story of Pesach is a story of redemption. And he kept the Passover in Egypt. He taught the people of Israel. He says, listen, Israel, if you want your families to be preserved from the wrath of God, from the judgment of God that is coming, you listen to the word of God and let's trust God and by faith, let's keep the feast of Passover. And they kept it. And what happened when they have kept it? They have been preserved from the judgment that was falling on the Egyptians. And when the angel of wrath, the angel of God came, every time he saw the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the Hebrews, he passed over that house. It took faith to believe it and to act upon it. It took faith, and he says here, through faith he kept the Passover. And somebody might say, Moses, why do we need the blood? If God is for us, and if we are the Hebrews, the people of Israel, why do we need the blood? Moses! Moses understood the necessity of the blood. He put the blood, he says here, sprinkling of the blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. If there will be no blood, there will be judgment. If there will be no blood, there is no redemption. Without the shedding of the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And so Moses succeeded by the grace of God to preserve the firstborn of the Hebrew homes by teaching them to keep the Passover and to sprinkle the blood. And thirdly, and finally, when it's come to the works of Moses, not only that he forsook Egypt, trusted God in the desert, he instructed Israel and kept the Passover for the time when Israel was going to go out of Egypt. But look at the third thing that we find out about him in verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as by dry land, which the Egyptians trying or saying to do that, they were drowned. The third thing that we learn about the great works of Moses. He had faith to say to the people of Israel, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When they were at the shore of the Red Sea in Exodus chapter 14, Moses was saying to the people of Israel, stand still, verse 13 of Exodus chapter 14, and see the salvation of the Lord which he will show you this day. For the Egyptian whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and ye should hold your peace. What a man he was, Moses, Moshe. A man that had a godly parent. And may God help us to be a godly parent. And not only godly parent, godly brothers and sisters. Godly people. After all, we belong to the Lord. And it's not enough to be belong to the Lord when it's come to our life here. We also should seek to live a godly life. Not only that he had a godly parent, he made a decision for God. He refused, he chose, and he esteemed. Refused the glory of the world, he chose to identify with God's people, and he esteemed the reproach of the Messiah greater riches than what Egypt could offer. When it's come to his works, Moses forsook Egypt by faith. Moses kept the Passover by faith. And Moses passed through the Red Sea with the people of Israel by faith. Now put it in perspective. He's writing to Hebrew believers of first century. And he's writing to you and I today as well. The Hebrews of first century had suffered and felt so much set aside, didn't know how to conduct themselves. Should we go back to the temple service? Should we leave it and follow the Messiah? Our own people still following the rituals, and yet we're exhorted to follow Yeshua as the Messiah. They've been facing this. The writer tells them, look at Moses. Look what he did. Godly parents, godly choices, and godly trust and faith in the God and Father who had given us and provided for us everything. And so the lesson for Moses applied to them, and you and I also, may the Lord help us also today to make decisions for the Lord, to seek to be a godly people, and also to seek to work and serve the Lord, to do some things for Jesus, for Yeshua the Messiah here in this world. Can you say amen to that? Amen.